a little nervous today. I think my phone. No, it's not. Okay. I'm nervous every time I preach, but I'm really nervous today because I feel the weight of what God wants to share. I want to start off a little bit differently than what we're used to, and I know you're all already sitting, but can I get everybody to stand up? Even me, I'll stand for you. I'm a horrible singer, so you have to sing with me. But we're going to sing an old hymn, and we're not going to use any instruments. And if you don't know the words, don't worry, we're going to put them up on the screen. But as we sing this, please really listen, really hear the words, and let them minister to your heart. Focus on what you're singing, and let Father minister to you, okay? When we're done, I just want to take a minute to just to soak into it, okay? Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best art, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my life. Be thou my wisdom, and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my path, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my seated. So today I'm preaching Be Thou My Vision, and this word has been on my heart actually since the last time I preached, this word has been on my heart since the last time I preached is what I said, but yeah, that's right. (Laughter) I'm going to try and hold it together. It's okay. There's so much in that hymn that truthfully we could probably make a series out of it. But what I'm going to settle for, and what I hope God does today, is that this song would become a heart cry, that it would become a prayer for all of us. I'm going to try and spend a little bit of time on each section, what I feel God's speaking and where I feel like he wants us to go. Some may be less thorough than others, but we're going to get through this, okay? So we're going to dive in. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking but or sleeping, thy presence my light. There is so much depth to just that one line, be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Who is Jesus to you? Do you seek him above everything else? How does he see you? How do you see yourself? What is the focus of your heart? I think even the word vision in this line, we could spend a decent amount of time working through. The word vision in the dictionary is defined this way. The ability to see something that you imagine, a picture that you see in your mind, or something that you see in a dream, or especially as part of a religious or supernatural experience. And I think we can agree that that's how most of us would look at this. When we say, be thou my vision, it's, what do you see, God? I want to see as you see. I want you to be my eyes. And I want to see the world like you do, and see each other the way you want us to. And we wouldn't be wrong. In the Bible, there are two primary Greek words for vision, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce them because I can barely say English words right now. But neither of them, they are translated to discern clearly and to attend to. Interestingly, though, the word vision used here is from an old Irish, and it's, I'm going to try and do this one. It's rop tu mo bale, which means be thou my vision. And the word vision here speaks of rapture, and it speaks of more than physical sight. It's more of a sense, more in the sense of a guiding inspiration that directs the actions of today toward an anticipated future or outcome. That's pretty crazy. Toward a future or anticipated outcome. It sounds confusing, right? But think Proverbs 29:18. Everybody should know this. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Can you tell me, aside from our leaders and my youth, can you tell me what the vision of this church is? Anybody? To know Jesus and make him known. Exactly. Thank you. This is why we function. This is why we do everything we do. What we teach, what we work on, is about this vision. We make it our goal to please him, Jesus, and him alone. Jesus is who we are passionate about. We aim to please him always. I don't want my life to be about anything else. Truthfully, I stole most of that from Ty. But it's exactly what we're called to. It's what we must be about. Our strategies can change, but our vision never will. As Christians, it will always be, and should always be, to know Jesus and to make him known. Period. Nothing else. Philippians 3, 7, and 8 has been my favorite scripture for as long as I can remember. When I first got saved, I loved to say it because it had dung in it in the King James. But truthfully, I believe God pointed me to that so it would become my life verse. It's how I want to live my life. It's what I continually ask God to give me a heart of. I want Jesus to be the focus of my life. Nothing else matters to me. Nothing. And it goes like this. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, or dung, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him. That's what I want my life to be about. What I love about Paul is that he had this amazing revelation of who Jesus is. In 2 Corinthians, he wrote a different kind of vision. Not a supernatural one, but one of intimacy. And Paul refers to unseen sight as things. In chapter 4, verse 18, by saying, "We look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen." And he goes on to say, "The things that are unseen are eternal." What was it that captivated him? What was it that brought him to this place? Chapter 4, verse 6 says, "God has made his light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." God revealed it to him. Paul's spiritual eyes were open to see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. And he had a revelation of who Jesus was, or is. This is what we all need to see. We all need that revelation. The truth is, this isn't just for the Pauls of the world, or for the super spiritual. It's for us. Does it seem too far off? But it's not. It's for us, you guys. Chapter 3, verse 18 says, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." Isn't that great news? We all have unveiled face. We all get to see the face of Jesus. He has been revealed to us as believers. We have access to the Father. We can ask God for this revelation continually to show us the face of Jesus, to know him, that our vision may be in him continually, to know Jesus. There's nothing complicated about it. All we have to do is know him and make him known. Right? This, to me, is what vision is. When I sing this hymn, "Be Thou My Vision," my heart cries to God to show me the face of Jesus. Transform me from glory to glory. I want to lay my life down for his sake. I want to know the vision that he's called me to know Jesus and to make him known, to make my King known. Okay, I could stay there all day, but we're going to move on. I told you this could easily become a series, right? I seriously could probably do like 15 pages of just "Be Thou My Vision." One of the other things I really love about this hymn is that each of the stanzas or verses just reinforces the other. "Not be all else to me, save that thou art." Nothing else matters to me. Nothing else satisfies me but you, Lord. So, to know Jesus and nothing else satisfies me, it just reinforces. How true is that for us? If only everybody could see that, thank God he revealed it to us. Thank you, God. We just need to open our eyes. We just need to see it. This is a gift from him. It's a gift from him, the faith that we've been given, the grace that we can walk in, that we might walk with him. It's only in Christ that you can be satisfied. Everybody is looking for something to make them happy. And thank God we have the answer, don't we? It's in Jesus. Jesus Culture sings this song called "Rooftops." And I can't help but think of this song when I think about what Jesus has done for us. And it goes like this. "Because of you, I freely live. My life to you, O God, I give. So I stand before you, God. I lift my voice because you've set me free. So I shout out your name. I stand on the rooftop and I proclaim that I am yours. I am yours. Hallelujah. This is what I want. I want to shout from the rooftops every chance I get. I don't even care if I go to work anymore. I don't know what God is doing in me, but I love it. I just want more. I want to tell everybody that he is the answer. I work with people that don't know him, and they are looking for the answer. And I want to shout them. I want to grab them and say, you guys, Jesus is the answer. I do. But they see it. They see it in me. They see it in Christy. When they're at work, they're like, how the heck are you the way you are? And I just tell them it's all Jesus, because I'm under all the same stresses that you are. I'm under all the same pressures that you are. But because of Jesus, I am free. He is my joy. Okay, I want to do the next two together. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. And really, we should have done all three together, or all four, like I said, because they just reinforce each other. And they reinforce the need to keep his vision. The realization of God's sovereignty over our life and always before us, really. Psalms 105:4 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. Psalm 139, verse 5 and verse 7 says, you hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? Can't. If we keep our focus on Christ and walk in his vision for us, we will find our joy. He will keep our path straight. He will be a light unto your feet. Amen? Okay. Be thou my wisdom and thou my true word. I ever with thee, and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son, thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Amen. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom, and the one who gets understanding. Interesting. Proverbs 3:13. Wisdom for wisdom's sake can be dangerous, right? We can't reason our way into heaven. And God says in his word that he chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, which is confusing, right? Because get wisdom for wisdom's sake. Okay, so I get wisdom. But what's going on here is that he wants us to have an understanding as well. Arthur C. Clarke said, my favorite definition of an intellectual is this. Someone who has been educated beyond his or her intelligence. It's good, right? Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. And whatever you get insight or understanding. There is a difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is about facts and ideas that we get through studying or experiences. For example, you put your hand on the hot stove, you don't do it again, right? Wisdom is the ability to discern and judge the knowledge we have. 1 Corinthians 1:30 says that Jesus has become our wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our sanctification, and our redemption. Thank God we have the mind of Christ. He is our wisdom, and that's the wisdom that we need to get. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. How many of you pay attention to how things are written in the Bible? For example, I'm sure you all noticed that the word Word here is written with a capital W. It's a proper noun. It denotes a person. But there are a couple other cool ones, like Lord with capital L, which means Adonai, and Lord in all caps, which means Yahweh. But anyway, that's a rabbit trail for another time. Okay, the word was God, that's the important part. Verse 2 says, he was in the beginning with God, right? Again, it's referring to him as a person. The word is a person. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Say that three times really fast, right? Are you ready for this? In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you catch that? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He is doing that. He shone bright that we might see. He overcame the darkness, and I love this next part. Seriously, unpacking this has been so fun for me. Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. You are like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. How is that possible? How were we the light of the world? If Christ is the light that shines in the darkness, how are we as well? I'll give you a hint. I ever with thee, thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father, I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. We've heard this before. We know Christ dwells in us. In fact, I think the last time I preached, I mentioned that he was in us and we couldn't hide from him. I ever with you and you with me, Lord. You are my great Father and I am your true Son. You dwell inside me and together we're one. If Christ is dwelling inside us, then we are a light as well. We can show people Christ in us. Through our lives, we can show them Christ. Matthew 5 goes on to say, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to the Father who is in heaven. Right? We're giving glory to the Father that is in heaven through our lives when we let Christ shine. We have to let the world see Christ in us. We have to. If our vision is to know Jesus and to make him known, we can only do that by knowing Jesus, by seeing the truth of him dwelling in us. If you've surrendered your life to Christ and confessed him as Lord, you already have him dwelling in you. You are his true son or daughter. Jesus himself praying to the Father said, I do not ask these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be in us. So that the world may believe. He is in us, and when we know him, he shines through us, and we make him known so that they may believe. Right? Is this so good? Okay. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Be thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my high tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. We're all familiar with Ephesians 6, right? The armor of God. With the shield of faith, we can put our complete trust and assurance in God, knowing that we can defend ourselves because he's given us the tools. Our sword for the fight is the word of God. Again, he's given us this. so that through it we can know him. Through his word, which is our life, we can know him. He's given us these tools. We can have full confidence knowing that in God's presence, we will have all the protection we need. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10:4. I love that. 10:4. The sword and the shield, independent of each other, are insufficient for battle. It's true. But together, they give both the ability to defend and attack. God is on both our defense and our offense as we wage good warfare. You are my dignity. You are my delight. You are worthy of my honor and my respect. You are where my joy comes from, my happiness. You are my soul's shelter. You are my high tower, and in you is where I find my rest. I can do that because I know you have me in the palm of your hand. I don't have to fear anything because he is with me, right? I know that you are safe because of him. I know that we are safe because he's always with us. All through the scriptures, there are verses that talk about God being our high tower, about being our safe refuge, about being able to rest in him, and he's never against us, he's always for us. And there are tons and tons of scriptures I could have quoted there, but you guys know most of them. Read through Psalms and you'll see dozens and dozens of them. He goes before us. He laid down his life willingly for our sake. Come, raise me heavenward, O power of my power. Lift my eyes towards the heavens that I can see you, knowing that you are where my strength comes from, so that we can run this race, right? I hope I'm hitting this home for you guys. This is all about making him your vision. It's all about knowing Jesus and making him known. We can have full confidence in him through all of this and be the light that he's calling us to be. Amen? Riches I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. I don't want riches or man's empty praise. You are my inheritance, now and always. I told you I can't talk. You and you only are the first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure you are. I'm going to start winding down here. And I love this. I love it. You and you only are the first in my heart. Can you imagine? What would that look like? To give Jesus the first place. Only him the first place in our hearts. Please, God, please let us be that. Like David, let us be a people that know your heart. Let us give you the first place in our hearts. It's important that we always remember our first love. John's letter in Revelation reminds us of the importance of keeping Christ first in our lives and remembering our first love. Let us walk with Christ in deep, deep intimacy, to know his heartbeat, to hear his voice so clearly, to know him. Right? Nothing else above Jesus. Nothing. How perfect is it to end this stanza like this? My treasure thou art. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, your heart, Thank you. Your heart will be also. Family, is that what we want? Yeah? Please, God, give us that. You alone, God, are worthy. You are the treasure we seek. Jesus. In a minute, we're going to sing the song again. And Caleb, if you want, you can come start getting ready. But when we do, I want you to think about what we've been talking about. What the Spirit has been ministering to you. But before we do, we're going to go over the last verse, okay? High King of Heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joy, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Gone. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, right? There is a single focus throughout this whole hymn, and that is our need to see the vision that we're called to, which is to know Jesus and to make him known. That is the vision of our hearts. Hammer that in. Write it down on the palm of your hand. To know Christ and to make him known. That's what we're about. That's it completely. I know life pulls us in 100 directions a million times a day. But Jesus is why we do this. Jesus needs to be our focus. We need to know him. Nothing else matters. Nothing. The rest is garbage. Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24 says, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Oh, that we could have this revelation. Have the revelation of the kind of relationship that Jesus wants to have with us. We are his bride, you and me. He wants this revelation alive in us. He wants us to see him, to know him. That we would make him the center of our lives, of everything of our focus and everything that we do, that Jesus would be the center. Psalm 73:25 says, who am I, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you. Nothing. Why be thou my vision? Why? To put Christ always before us. To make him the center of everything. As we sing this hymn again, make this your heart's cry. Allow him to minister to you. Do you want to know him the way he wants you to? Let him speak to you. Let him minister to you. Amen. If you could please stand, join with us.
vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence my light. Oh yeah, oh, 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 oh. Be thou my wisdom and thy my true word. I ever with thee and thou with me, Lord. Thou my great Father and I thy true Son. Thou in me dwelling and I with thee one. Oh, 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 oh. Be thou my battle shield, sword for the fight. Thou my dignity, thou my delight. Thou my soul's shelter, thou my tower. Raise thou me heavenward, O power of my power. I heed not, nor man's empty praise. Thou my inheritance now and always. Thou and thou only, first in my heart. High King of heaven, my treasure thou art. I reach heaven's joy, bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. Still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.